I don't want to lose. I want to win.
I need professional help.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sports Betting Weekly, sponsored by EasySportsData.com. The books use data, shouldn't you too? And this is Easy Sports Data, like the preschoolers use. EasySportsData.com.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Sports Betting Weekly.
I want to win.
Here we go. Money talk. Here comes
the money. You should also check out sportsbettinglessons.com. You'll learn some old tricks because sometimes how you bet is more important than who you bet. Sportsbettinglessons.com.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second App Chaz. It's our NFL Week 7 show. We are going to talk with Mo. We are going to talk with Blackhawk Wes. We're going to talk a little bit World Series. Let's think about some college football now that some of these other conferences are open. We're going to go ahead and cover their best three plays for the NFL. And we're going to start with Mo. Now, Mo, you had a pretty incredible run so far.
Yeah, you know, not too bad on the prop bets. The thing about them is I do it one time, I do it fast, and I don't think about it.
Well, a lot of times the thinking is what really can get you in trouble. There's no doubt about it. And speaking of thinking, I know you follow all sports. Do you have any thoughts on what the play for the next World Series game is going to be?
You know, the Rays bounced back last night. Got themselves a win. It's probably going to come down to pitching. You know, the Rays, if you look at the two matchups, I mean, in payroll alone, the Dodgers, between Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts, make almost as much as the entire Tampa Bay roster. Kevin Kiermaier plays on Tampa Bay, is from my hometown. So I'm rooting for the Rays. I think the Rays are going to have to continue to pour on the runs because let's look at it. I mean, the Dodgers, their payroll is high and they have a lot of stars who can put runs on the board quick. So I think Tampa Bay's got to get out early and then try to use that fantastic bullpen to keep ahead. That being said, it's going to be hard not to see the Dodgers win this thing, but they've chucked it, you know, a couple years in a row now. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays to win the next game and hold off the Dodgers in the World Series. You know, we saw Atlanta dominate them to begin the series of the National Championship Series. The Dodgers came roaring back. They gained the momentum and never looked back. You know, the Dodgers win game one, and now Tampa Bay comes back and win game two. So, you know, the Dodgers are going to have to gain the momentum again, I think, you know, and keep it going. Again, they're in a city where it's weird because you've really got to be a hardcore fan to be one of the, you know what, 13,000 let in, and you're playing in Texas. So it's definitely different without the home fans and it being in the same spot. So it'll be interesting to see the pitching matchups when there's no travel and what the teams decide to do when it comes to starting pitchers.
And speaking of different, this weekend, you know, I always talk to the guys from the D.C.'s fantasy show with Belly Up Fantasy on Saturday nights, and then when I'm done with the show, my night's over because there's no late games anymore. But now, starting this weekend at 7 o'clock out here, 7:30, 10:30 where you are, there's going to be football games on because we got some new conferences opening up.
Yeah, you know, the Big Ten will be interesting to see what Ohio State can do. A lot of people like their team, the way it's put together this year. They have high hopes for them, and, you know, playing an abbreviated schedule could help them. They don't play a ton of the big powerhouses in the conference this year. It could be an easy walk for Ohio State into the playoff, but, you know, they tend to slip up on that one game every year that nobody expects, a couple years ago, Purdue. So we'll see what happens with the Buckeyes and, you know, the Pac-12, which, other than on the West Coast, it's I don't think anybody pays that much of attention to, you know, the rest of the country just because it's on so damn late. But you're right, you'll have football to go to bed to if you're on the any part of the country other than the West Coast.
The Pac-12 has not even made an impact. Oregon had a couple good teams, but they haven't made an impact since the playoffs started.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's part of the problem of why they're not getting these guys, because if you're a high school, big-time high school recruit, you're looking going, okay, I can go have fun and play in good weather, but these teams aren't even being considered when it comes to, you know, the Final Four for the playoffs. It's coming from the Big 12, from the Big 10, and from the ACC or SEC, sometimes a couple teams from the SEC. And again, and the other problem that the Pac-12 has is they're not playing in prime time for three-fourths of the country. So I think all those factors have impacted why they're not getting the big-time recruits anymore, so it's hard to build a consistent winning program.
no doubt that the rich get richer, but God bless America, because I think that's kind of that should be our motto under the eagle. All right, so we're going to talk NFL. So you like three games. You said Cleveland-Cincinnati game, Pittsburgh-Tennessee, and Tampa Bay at Vegas.
You know, I liked what the Bengals did last week against the Colts. They jumped out early to a 21-0 lead. Unfortunately, their defense couldn't sustain in the second half, but I do like Joe Burrow a lot. It looks like you could be seeing Case Keenum start for Cleveland. I'm going to take Cincinnati, the underdog, in this one. I like Joe Burrow so much in Cleveland. It looked like the Cleveland of old again, as they did last week, as they got demolished and manhandled by Pittsburgh. I'm gonna take Cincinnati to cover the points. That I even like them to win the game.
Well, if you watch that film, if you're the Cincinnati team and you watch that film of the Pittsburgh game, you gotta feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't think they're gonna be that terrible again this week, but they are the Browns, and they do have a tendency to pull off surprises, especially when it comes to being terrible. So I like, after watching Joe Burrow last week, you know, they should have won that game against the Colts. They gave up, you know, some terrible scoring plays for the Colts, but I really like Joe Burrow a lot. I think he's got a good young offense around him. And, you know, that defense from Cleveland, which was so heralded, didn't do much last week. So, you know, I really do think that if they can keep Joe Burrow upright, they're going to win the football game.
Yeah, we had him on last week here in San Diego, but he made a play, and I mentioned to Vicky. He says, Vicky, look at that, watch it. Now, Vicky's a football girl, so she knows that. I said, "That's you can't teach that." What he just did, and it was just, he was in the pocket, he was about to get sacked, he made a little spin move and he flipped it to a guy that was open, and the guy got like 12 yards. And you just can't teach that kind of stuff, so no doubt about
it. No, he's never got moxie, and you know, people expected this team to be terrible for a long time. I think they thought Joe Burrow was going to eventually be good, but you know, he's had his bumps, but man, he sure doesn't look like a rookie out there sometimes.
And then when you look at the second game you mentioned, you were talking about, you literally could say an AFC conference championship game, because you got between two teams playing in week 7, we got 10-0 between them. 10-0.
Yeah, and if you look at what the Titans have gone through, this is a makeup game from a few weeks back, and you know, they come out and play the way they've played. No doubt Pittsburgh can put points on the board, and they can do it in a lot of different ways. What has been shocking to me this year so far has been, you know, we expect the Pittsburgh's defense to be so much better, and they've allowed a lot of points. You know, the loss of Devin Bush, their linebacker, for the rest of the year is going to hurt even more. I like the way that Tennessee's defense has played. You know, Ryan Tannehill, he's proved he wasn't just a one-year wonder in his reincarnation with the Tennessee Titans. They can score so many different ways. They came back to win that game. They tied it in the final seconds last week and won it a couple plays in overtime. I like Tennessee Titans. I like them a lot to beat Pittsburgh this week.
They do have a team that plays football like their coach played football.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you can tell because these guys, you know, it was such a great game last week, back and forth with Houston. They didn't give up. They had to, you know, make a two-point conversion to tie the game, and then, you know, Derrick Henry wins the game. They've got a lot of weapons, and the defense is getting better. I like Tennessee a lot.
Vegas made a fool of me with Kansas City. Both of these teams have made a fool of me this year.
Well, you know, you looked at the way that Tampa Bay played against the Bears, and you're like, well, okay, this team's got a lot of issues. And they come out after Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers get up 10-0, and they just dismantled. They made Aaron Rodgers look not just human, but look bad. You know, this game has just been moved from the Sunday night window to the late 4:05 window. Seattle's been moved into the primetime game now. All of Oakland's offensive line is now on the COVID list, which could make a very long day for Derek Carr. That line got after Aaron Rodgers last week a lot. Ronald Jones was his third 100-yard game in a row after taking like 80 games to get his first 100-yard game. He's had three in a row. And guess what? Oh, yeah, by the way, Tom Brady, remember there's a guy named Gronkowski on this team and got him involved a lot last week. Godwin's back after being injured and missing three or four games. You know, there's no reason to think that with the COVID list for Oakland, that this Tampa Bay team is going to get beat. Now, they have pulled off a stinker twice this year so far, but I think last week gave them all kinds of confidence after just dismantling Green Bay. I like Tampa Bay big in this game.
They did beat up Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my goodness. It seemed like every single play they were on him.
Yeah, and now you take that with, you know, Derek Carr, who's athletic but not the most mobile of quarterbacks, and his entire offensive line is going to miss the football game. That could be big-time trouble for the Oakland Raiders, or for the Las Vegas Raiders now.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, those are the games where when that stuff happens, sometimes you've got to hop on it, A, before they take it off the board, or B, where the line moves to 6.5, 7.5, and then you end up getting beat because it's the line double.
Exactly. That's why you try to always make your plays early if possible. If you're feeling it, I make it early.
And the problem is, of course, nowadays you make a line early and it comes back to bite you. You can't win. It's COVID. You can't win for trying, Mo.
Well, it's like they used to say in Chicago during the elections, vote early, vote often.
You got it, man. All right. Again, congratulations on your top spot on the leaderboard with the Prop Me contest. You've had, golly gee, there's 6 weeks so far. You were first twice and you were second twice. And I think you were in the top 10 the other two times. But golly gee, it was just, you're just on a roll. Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
And I say it all the time. If you're not sure who you like or you want a little second opinion, just go back and listen to Mo and do what he says. He's 9-1 most weeks, for heaven's sakes. When we come back from break, we'll be talking to Blackhawk West. You're listening to Sports Betting Weekly.
Could this be a trap?
I always think everything could be a trap, which is why I'm still alive.
However, the amount is 50 florins.
Well, that's all we got.
Yes, and if we had 60, the bet would be 60.
That's been a mistake. Give me my money back. No.
Are you using JoinUWager.com? When you win, your book should pay you fast, and JoinUWager.com does. It's as simple as that. Need a new book? Check out JoinUWager.com. Live action is the best way to win, and JoinJazzSports.com has the most lines. You'll have tons of team totals, first quarter parlays too. Jazz is offering things that other books won't. If you want more options to win, use Jazz Sports. JoinJazzSports.com.
Sports Betting Weekly.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. I am Second Half Chaz. Again, if you missed the first part of the show, go back and listen to what Mo said before you place any bets. But we also have another great handicapper on the show. I talked to him earlier. He had told me that he had the Dodgers game one, Tampa game two. So far he's doing pretty well. What do you think, Wes? Pretty good series so far, huh?
Well, what we've seen in two games is some runs being scored, which is great because baseball is typically a slower paced game and it turns a lot of people off. But, you know, game one, we have 11 runs and then we have 10 runs the other game. So what I've seen within the investments in these games is it becomes pretty easy, and I'm not a big baseball guy, but it becomes pretty easy to see when the bats are getting hot. And some of that live action, you know, 0.5 over or under for the inning in a run, well, these things are paying plus 225, plus 250. You hit one of them, and now you got 2.5-1 return on that. Well, now you've got some free capital to keep doing it. And you get the feeling when these bats are getting hot, and you got to have quick thumbs. But it's been pretty exciting to watch. I don't know enough baseball to know if I feel like they're going to keep this fireworks show of hitting and runs going. But it's certainly been fun to watch, and I like the Rays to take it all for whatever my uneducated opinion is worth.
Did they mention at all Tampa Bay's incredible record when they have the lead after seven innings?
Yeah, they were talking about that a little bit, and I guess it makes sense. You would think, I mean, isn't that kind of like having the lead in a football game with, you know, 8 minutes to go in the fourth? You would think that if you got a lead, you're going to close it out, right?
Well, but look at the Padres and how many games they won in the seventh inning or over. So, no, it's not. And it's only because they have a very, very good bullpen. Now, it's a whole different animal. It's a whole different animal if they're not ahead. But you talked about live betting, and it's pretty easy to take a team minus 220 when you know they haven't lost, and all it has to do is stay the same, or if they get more runs, of course, you win. But as long as they win by a half a run, and in baseball, you got to win by a half a run to win. So there is a lot of good parts about the pitch and change. Because remember, in the old days, the reason baseball was so boring is the pitcher would pitch for seven innings, eight innings.
Yeah, he would.
Now they got seven pitchers that pitch in seven innings.
Oh, every different scenario. Oh, they got a righty. Let's bring a lefty in.
But you're absolutely right. If you sit around, watch baseball for a couple, three innings, let them go through, figure out who's pitching, let them see the pitcher they're seeing, and then you just sit around and you could see. You could score some points, you could get some money. There's no doubt about it.
And the over-under changes, too, dramatically. The game starts, this game that's coming up tomorrow night, the over-under is 7.5. You go two innings without a score, that's going to drop to 6. And at that point, I'm siding with Vegas. They're setting these lines because they know what they're doing.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, so we got some college football.
I think we're going to see a little bit of what we saw in the SEC. We're going to see these teams rough each other up. It's very different than when they start off with a cupcake game and they use it as their preseason. But I am a diehard Buckeye fan, but I even just from the outside looking in, it would be very hard to bet against the Buckeyes. I mean, their recruiting has been impeccable, and they just keep rinse repeat. They got a Bama Clemson style recruiting farm system going on, and I wouldn't want to be Nebraska this weekend. Bama and Clemson, and bring on whoever else. Oklahoma hasn't stood a chance against them. I mean, they show up in the playoffs only to create a win for somebody else. And in Ohio State, the last two trips to the playoffs, they haven't done very well against Clemson. So you're probably right. It's probably, in the end, we're probably going to find Alabama, Clemson, regardless of what happens in the Big Ten.
Oh, you're right. The Big 12 really, you know, like most conferences or teams or fans, they really have a different opinion of themselves than the reality is.
They do, and you really only get a couple chances a year, depending on how you're scheduling. But they're scheduling 5 years out, sometimes even further. So when they're scheduling these out-of-conference games that look like a marquee matchup, and then that particular team loses a coach because he moves on to something bigger and better, well, it's no longer a great matchup. So a lot of times it's playoffs or it's the bowl where you get to see an Oklahoma or a Texas go against Bama or Clemson. So everybody thinks that their team is the greatest. That's why they're fans.
No doubt about it. All right, so we're going into NFL Week 7, and there are still issues. We're still having issues, but some of the teams that are expected to win are winning. Some of the teams that are expected to suck. So who do you like for this weekend? Who's your top three plays for Week 7 NFL?
So this week, last week we were talking about the Jets, and you know, I think they just proved that they're probably the next team to lose a coach mid-season. Buffalo coming off of a loss, there's not many quarterbacks that I trust to cover 13 points, but I do trust the Jets to lose by 13 points, and Buffalo's got a pretty good overall team. They just got beat by the Chiefs, which most teams would do. It's just what it is. So I really like Buffalo laying the 13. I also really like San Francisco. It's crazy because a couple weeks ago I picked New England because Bill Belichick doesn't lose two in a row, but I think this is going to be one of the rare times he does. San Francisco really showed up last week, and they showed what brought them to the Super Bowl last year. So they're grinding, they're running the ball. Jimmy G looked to take care of the ball a little bit. Their defense showed up. 2 points. I like the two. I like the money line. I don't think New England is going to be able to do anything. I think New England's probably going to miss the playoffs this year. But those are my two favorite picks in the NFL.
Well, just so you know, I'm looking at the opening line and the closing line as of today, and both of those games have moved 3 points. And you can have a week where not a lot of NFL team games move 3 points, and they both moved 3 points against you.
Yeah.
No, against you, because New England went from 5.5 to 2.5, and New York went from 10 to 13.5.
Well, I'm okay with those lines. I like Buffalo to cover that. I don't think the Jets have an answer. I think that their star running back decided he didn't want to play. Their best player on defense decided he didn't want to play. Their best DB decided he didn't want to play. I mean, at some point, this coach is going to go. So I still like Buffalo, and like I said, I like San Francisco on the money line. I'm not truly concerned with how many points they're getting. I think they went outright. And the other one I like is Green Bay coming off a loss, not just the loss, but an embarrassing loss where Rodgers throws two picks. That doesn't happen very often, and he's going to bounce back. And 3.5 feels pretty easy there.
Well, you know, remember, Houston doesn't have the same coach they started the year with. And that coach last week made a decision that definitely made it easier for them to lose the game. It didn't lose the game, but it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Houston, Tennessee is a far better team. I mean, that's just a reality. Tennessee is one of the only remaining unbeaten teams, and they're playing playoff football right now in October, which is really scary. The way that they're controlling the clock, they're running the ball, they're not turning it over, and their defense is showing up. They look well coached.
But it's their game too. First of all, he's a great coach. He was a great player. He's a great. He's a football player. He wasn't a fancy schmancy football star. He wasn't, you know, Deion Sanders. He was a football player. But that's the beauty of it. He made this team based on what he knows, and where some guys don't even have a jewelry box, this dude has a drawer just for his Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, and the best thing that I remember about this guy was last year against the Patriots, where he figured out that he could take a penalty on top of the timeout and get the clock running and a delay a game, and he killed 2 minutes and 20 seconds or 3 minutes off of the clock just by working what he knew about the rules and the loopholes within keeping the clock running, and he did it against Bill Belichick.
No, it was great. It really was. And I remember they showed him on the sideline, Belichick, and he was very testy, to say the least.
Well, he created a monster.
Yeah.
Belichick created a monster.
No doubt about it. All right, man, we will we'll pay attention, as always, to your plays, because they usually do very, very well. Don't forget to log in and get your prop me picks in. I know you're under contention there, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Have a good week, brother.
And there's no doubt that Wes has been one of the brightest handicappers we've met over the years of doing the show. Not because he can pick winners, but because of his why. His whys are so solid. We always talk about it. Don't tell me who you like. Tell me why you like them. Because if your why is bad enough, I can fade you and make some money betting against you. All right, so don't forget, we're on the Belly Up Podcast Network. You can always listen to this show anytime. SportsBettingWeeklyLive.com will always send you to our very, very last show. You can catch us Saturday night, 9:15 p.m. on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And Belly Up Fantasy will be giving our plays to the DCs. We got whacked 2 weeks in a row. We're going to just get better. That's all you can do. I am Second F. Chaz. You've been listening to Sports Betting Weekly.